Every Christian male has had a porn problem because every Christian male is trying not to have sex. So they either have a sex problem or they have a porn problem. That's just a thing. I said no to sex and drugs today. If you're new to the Back Row Podcast, no matter where you are in life, you are welcome here. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be mentally put together. I was going to have sex tonight. Guys, I was going to have sex tonight in the hotel that a Christian company booked for me. He was like, you're training yourself now for the kind of man you want to be as a husband. And do you want to bring porn into a relationship? I've never looked at porn in a relationship because I have a ton of premarital sex. So if the threesome thing turns into something bigger, maybe this becomes a Mormon podcast. Guys, the sky's the limit. You go to any comment thread of a Christian YouTuber and you go, huh, yuck. I end up watching porn whilst ordering a pizza whilst ordering Sonic. It is the saddest display. Every time I prayed, it was just a show. It was like, hey man, I'm still here. I have a Christian podcast, so I guess we're still doing this. Like, it was like a lot of that. You know how like every pastor is like, no sex till marriage. I mean, like, I had a lot of sex, but then when I met my wife, we waited 4 months and now we have sex every day. And I'm like, cool. I said no to sex and drugs today. Hello, my name is Jamie Kilstein. I'm a Christian, so I'm supposed to say no to sex and drugs. This is the Back Row Podcast. If you're new to the Back Row Podcast, no matter where you are in life, you are welcome here. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be mentally put together. This is a show where I'm trying to become a better person and I'm trying to find God and have a relationship there. And I am fucking it up, but not today. Because today I said no to, I was going to have sex tonight. Guys, I was going to have sex tonight in the hotel that a Christian company booked for me. I was going to have out of wedlock sex with a very nice girl. Who's an ex girlfriend of mine, and I didn't do it. And here's what happened. While we try to figure out what this show is and sort of the voice of the show, you may have noticed we've gone in different orders. So the first couple episodes, I was like, I found the girl that I'm gonna marry. There was one moment where I teared up and I was like, I'm gonna be a dad. And then like the next episode, I was like, my life's falling apart and I'm going to have a threesome. And then the next episode, I was just like, I found the girl I'm going to marry. And so it was like very out of order and unstable. We're probably going to air an episode I did with my pastors where I talk about being very much in love. It's one of my favorite podcasts I've ever done in my life. So for people who are new to the show, who watch that episode, it's just going to be like a really wholesome, still kind of edgy episode with my pastors. But for the hardcore fans, for you guys, I want you to try to find every red flag to my relationship that is now over. Because there are like many moments where I'm asking my pastors, so like fighting a lot can be like good, right? And they're like, sure. And like, clearly I'm just like a man on a ledge desperately trying to keep this relationship. And so here's how it may relate to you guys. I have always been insecure where I needed to put myself in boxes, because if I put myself in a box, I kind of know what I'm supposed to do. So anyone who's listened to my old comedy podcast knows that when I'm doing comedy, I'm a degenerate. But I'm doing great at shows. I feel like I'm crushing it, but I start drinking or hooking up or doing all these things because I go, that's what a comedian does. A comedian doesn't wake up at 5:15. A comedian doesn't meditate. That's for the gays. A comedian mocks healthy things. And essentially is trying to die, because the closer they come to death, the better material they have. And then I'll usually hit some kind of rock bottom, and be like, okay, now I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to start going to the gym and I'm going to wake up early. And this happened when I got baptized. I'm like, I'm not going to hook up. I'm not going to do all these things. And so then I go, I can't do comedy. I literally stopped doing comedy and started feeding homeless people, which is a good thing. I want to start doing it again on the same street where all the comedy clubs were. So people were like, hey, man, are you going up at Mothership? And I'm like, I made peanut butter sandwiches for Fred, the nom vet in a wheelchair. And they're like, weird. And so then I just stopped doing comedy. And so with Christianity, oof, I mean, it's good for me. But it sure was a lot of boxes I had to jump into at the same time. So I get saved. I find Jesus. I feel good for the first time in my life. I feel loved. I feel forgiven. It's the first time that I am happy being single until I started going to church. And when I started going to church, I suddenly was like, oh, am I not supposed to be single? I felt like walking into my church, which is filled with hot people, where I was just like standing there like, I'm by myself, and just watching these like hot blonde couples who look like they're out of like a like an Abercrombie catalog walk by. And so right away, you know, you hear Jesus loves you and Jesus accepts you, but then you walk into this human institution and all of your human insecurities come back, where Jesus wasn't like heckling me from the balcony. Jesus wasn't like, hey, where's your girlfriend, nerd? Jesus was like, hey man, just come and worship me. And I was like, yeah, but look at all these hot couples and I'm by myself. And so it switched from me doing comedy shows and being validated by sleeping with a girl after a show, to suddenly that fantasy was just as unhealthy. It just became Christian. So now I'm not going to church being like, who am I going to bang in the church bathroom? But I'm going to church and being like, who am I going to marry? Like, I need to be like all of these other blonde couples who have three kids, all of them named Madison, and they just did a fall photo shoot in a pumpkin patch. And like, Jesus, I gotta get a kid named Madison in a pumpkin patch soon, or else I'm gonna get kicked out of heaven. And so I automatically think that I have to be in alignment with everybody else at church. So now I'm not looking to hook up, but I'm looking for a fucking wife. And that is a lot more pressure. Like, I remember one time my pastor didn't realize what he was doing, but he was talking about how you should find another Christian to date. And he's like, you know, I would love to see more couples at Red Rocks. Like, I'd love to see more couples here. And then the lobby afterwards was like a bloodbath. It was just like all of these guys like going to like hit on these girls. And I don't want to do that. Right. So two things happened. One, Jesus led me to pornography. Two, I got into a very unhealthy relationship that went on longer than it should have because we thought we were doing it for God. And I have a feeling that a lot of you guys have been through that. So porn, we'll do porn first. This is my testimony about how Jesus brought me to Pornhub. Okay. Guys, I'm so sorry. Follow me on Instagram, at the Jamie Kilstein. I'm a comedian. You can't get mad. You guys got mad when Tim Ross came on this podcast and cursed because he used to be a pastor, and you're fucking nerds. You can't get mad at me. I'm a comedian. You know what this is. You know what this is. That's why you're watching. Okay. So I was trying to be a good Christian and I got baptized, and the second I got baptized, I'm pretty sure I had sex the week of baptism because I'm like, let's just get this out of the system. the gymnastics we will do to try to be like good Christians. Guys, so many times I think that we do things we know we shouldn't do for the right reasons, if that makes sense. So I'm not trying to justify it by any means. I'm miserable when I look at porn. No one's ever looked at porn and been like, oh man, good job, buddy. You know what I mean? Like, I've never woken up from like a 12 o'clock nap in the afternoon with shame stains on my sweatpants. And it's like, man, you really went and got him. You know, I don't have David Goggins in my head being like, come on, get after it. It's never a thing that you feel good about. Never. I've never watched porn and been like, fuck yes. But I never even really liked porn. I did when I was like a kid, you know, because when you kids these days, my generation paved the way for you people with your porn. I should have like a civil rights like monument of me and my friends finding Playboys in the woods that you guys just bow to since you have gangbangs that live in your pockets. I grew up with, if you wanted to see porn, you had to fight private school kids to see porn. You had to like, I remember I like befriended the weird kid because we heard a rumor that like his dad had Playboys in like the upstairs bathroom. And I just made a fake friend so I can go look at Playboys and just pretend I was taking a long poop. We were psychopaths. And that limited amount of porn messed up my brain. Like just that, just having access to the occasional Playboy magazine, I almost dropped out of school. My brain was just like tits, 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 tits. If I grew up with access to hardcore porn on my phone, I would be even more of a mess than you're seeing right now. So this is not to advocate for porn, but I also don't think that when you are trying to quit a habit or when you're trying to better yourself, that a bunch of YouTube influencers telling you you're going to go to hell or acting like they've never looked at pornography or anything like that, I don't think that's going to help by any means. I think that you have to show yourself grace, but you have to hold yourself accountable. These are two things that are very hard to combine. But when you do it, smooth sailing. Sometimes trying to do the right thing can lead to another wrong thing. So like, I was never into porn. I have a whole bit on stage that I was doing pre-Christian about how I can't watch porn because porn has gotten so mean. Like the whole premise is like, here's what I want to watch when I watch porn. I want to see two people hotter than me have consensual sex. That's it. That's my big kink. And then the joke is, I go, you can't find that. Every time you go to Pornhub, every video is like, watch us trick this dumb whore into a van. And you're like, no, I just want to watch porn. I don't want to be accessory to a crime. Like, absolutely not. And then it goes on. I'm just going to do the whole bit. I go, I'm like, it doesn't have to be sweet. He doesn't have to be like fucking her doggy style. Welcome back, Hector. He doesn't have to be like fucking her doggy style. And is like, thanks for picking up the groceries. And she's like, thanks for remembering my love language is words of affirmation. And he's like, I love you. Like, you don't need that. But I also don't need to see a girl getting fucked because she got stuck under a table. I don't need to see step parents. When did you guys start having sex with your step families? Like, I don't like any of that. I am not a fan of any of that. However, not a lot of people are fans of non-alcoholic beer. But sometimes when you try to quit drinking, I'm told non-alcoholic beer is a nice little crutch. It's a little bridge that gets you through, right? And no one gets addicted to non-alcoholic beer because non-alcoholic beer is bad. I tried to use pornography as my non-alcoholic beer because I was like, okay, I'm not going to hook up with people because I'm a Christian. I'm not going to have sex because I'm a Christian. And then I was like, porn wasn't around in biblical times. The Bible didn't say anything about porn, blah, 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 lust. Shut up. I was like, I'm just going to do this every time I want to have sex. Every time I want to have sex, I'm just going to look at porn. And then, like, you know how you start listening to Taylor Swift ironically? And then you're like buying stadium tickets and you're like, do I love Taylor Swift? I feel like that happened to me with porn, because you can say you don't like porn all you want. I can give these anti-porn rants all I want. It is addictive in every way. Sex is addictive. Dopamine. We get addicted to dopamine hits. The phone is addictive. Put all those things together and you just have like a Molotov cocktail of a fuck addiction. Right? So suddenly, and you know, addiction's a strong word, because I went to download one of those like porn app blocks today, and it had you take a test to say if you were addicted to porn. And literally the app that wanted my money was like, you're not addicted to porn. I use the word addiction. If there is something you don't want to do and you do it, you should probably stop doing it. And so every time I wanted to have sex, every time I wanted to text an ex, every time some girl would hit me up on Instagram and is like, I'm just looking for something casual. I'm like, girl, you don't know how great I am. You're going to fall in love with me. I would just look at porn and then I would hate myself. And well, one of my pastors said to me, I won't say which one, because the first thing he said to me is he's like, just jerk off. I don't care. Just stop watching porn. But the second thing he said to me was, he was like, you're training yourself now for the kind of man you want to be as a husband. And do you want to bring porn into a relationship? And the answer is no. I've never looked at porn in a relationship, because I have a ton of premarital sex in a relationship and I would rather have sex. I'm not going anymore. I made this decision today, I think. I don't know. We're working on it. I would rather have sex than look at porn. I think most people would. But the problem is, let's say you don't care about Jesus, right? Let's say you just care about finding a girl because you're lonely. Porn will drop your sex appeal, your confidence. It will make you like, you'll leave the house and just feel like one of those like trench coat perverts. Just like, ah, they all know I was looking at Latina MILFs. Like, you don't want to be that. You're not going to be able to confidently talk to a girl if all you do is watch porn, or all you do is talk to girls on OnlyFans, who usually it's a guy who's like writing to you. What are you going to do? Go up to a girl at a bookstore and be like, you want me to come on your face? Like, you are becoming like less of a human, right? I don't want to be in a relationship where if my girlfriend is on her period, or sorry, my wife is on her period. Do wives still get periods? They do. Where she's on her period, or we get into a fight and I run to porn because I'm used to masking my pain with porn. And so I stopped. And it was so easy for like, 2 weeks, and I was happier than I ever was. I felt closer to God. I had more energy. I was like super confident and like flirty, but also wasn't thirsty. I wasn't trying to get phone numbers. I could just like have a cool interaction with a girl and be like, see you later. It was great. And then, every Sunday, I would go to church and I would look at these couples and I would feel like a different kind of despair. I'd go, but I'm not married. I don't have a kid, you know? Part of me, honestly, I think I said this on one of the solo episodes, but like, man, the first two episodes I did with Tim and one we haven't aired, I was so excited to be a dad. And I honestly don't know if that was just me being like, that's what Christians say. Like, I thought I found the girl I was going to marry. And I could see us being parents. And now that bubble kind of like popped, like I feel like that whole relationship was like a fever dream. I just go, geez, I don't even know if I want to be a dad. Like, I don't know. That's something I would seriously have to talk to my next partner about. I would go to church and I would just feel like I didn't belong. I had so many friends. I have so many friends at church. I've never felt more loved and more welcome than when I go to that church. But being a 41-year-old single dude, I was like, ugh. And I also, like, you don't want to flirt. Like, you just hear all these stories of, like I have a ton of, like, girlfriends at church, and they'll just be like, these guys are DMing all of us like we don't talk. Like, is that a thing in church? We should make a sketch about that. Just like the dude who's just like up in every Christian girl's DMs. Like, hey, you want to start like a small group together? It is. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get shot down. And like, that's where I go to worship. It's just the fucked up thing. It's where you go to worship God, but it's also the place you're going to find the girl with the most values that align with yours, but also like you don't want to mix and match. Like, I've never dated a comedian because if we break up, like, I still got to go to the clubs. I still got to see her. I still got to pray she didn't fuck Tony Hinchcliffe after we broke up. Like, you don't want that stuff. I don't want that with my church. I don't want to be like, you know, I mean, my ex went to church with me, but we broke up and she moved back to the Midwest. So like, we're fine. I mean, geez, but even with her, I hear certain Maverick City songs or like watch certain pastors that she loved. And I'm just like, oh, like, let alone if I had to see her, how am I supposed to worship God when my ex is like three chairs down? I'm like, is she raising her hands? Oh, I guess I should raise my, like, I don't want to do that. And so it's this weird thing where it's like, well, I want to date a Christian girl. Where do you find a Christian girl? Church. Yo, I got to start doing. I got to join a small group of other churches. Like, don't go. So this is the plan. I'm going to go to Red Rocks every Sunday. That's where I worship. Then during the week, I'm just going to start slipping into a Bethel small group on Tuesday, maybe a New Hope Church small group on Wednesday. And I am just going to give every girl my phone number. And then I don't have to deal with, this is good. I hope you guys are writing this down. So I meet a girl. God, if you're listening to the show, I'm not going to badmouth her. I'm not going to, we both screwed up. I miss her a lot. I feel stupid. But I think that when you become a new Christian, you kind of just think the only thing you need in a girl is to also be a Christian. Like, we were in a toxic relationship. We were in an unhealthy relationship. Some would say I was in an abusive relationship. Guys, it wasn't. I really went to the deep end quickly. But we were like, this is Christ-centered because we both are Christian. But it was so toxic. It wasn't Christ-centered. It was more like we kidnapped Jesus and just made him sit there and like watch us have an unhealthy relationship. Just because you both like Jesus doesn't mean it's a healthy relationship. In fact, people can manipulate you into letting them get away with abusive bullshit. And I'm not saying her, but I've heard stories of guys doing this and whatever, because they're like, well, this is for Jesus. We can't get divorced, or we're supposed to be molding each other, or, you know, Jesus says, forgive. I remember when I first started like getting warning signs about this relationship, I went to my pastor and I was like, hey man, am I being Christ-like or am I getting walked all over? Because in a weird way, Christianity, and I hope I don't get in trouble for this, but like in a weird way, Christianity, it makes you put your guard down a little more because you're so excited to meet someone who shares this love that you sort of forget about all of the like regular ass red flags that you would look for if you weren't both Christian. Like every time she would do something like really mean, and I would just be like, all right, I'm just gonna go drive to the gym. And I would be like so upset. Instead of me being like, yo, you shouldn't put up with that and you should have boundaries and you probably move too fast in this relationship, I would be like, well, I'm a Christian now, so I have to forgive her. And so I would call her and I would feel like such a good pat myself on the back Christian. And I would be like, hey, I just want you to know I love you. And she would be like, wait, what? Because like that was very unexpected. And then I would come home and I would skip the healthy thing I was going to do. I would skip the gym so I could take care of her. And I was like, God, Jamie, you're so Christ-like. And my friends were like, God, Jamie, you're so codependent. And I was like, what? No, I'm doing what Jesus would forgive. Jesus would, you know what I mean? And it is a really, really hard line to walk. Because I am really proud that I was forgiving. I am really proud that I loved this girl with every part of me. I was even really proud the times that all of my friends and pastors were like, you can't go back to her. And I was like, but man, I believe in her. I believe she's gonna change. That's how it sounded to me. How it sounded to me was, and guys, I know you've been through this. How it sounded to me was, I'm pretty much like Jesus' boyfriend here. Like, I'm gonna take her back. I'm gonna help her change. What it sounded like in real life is that I was a 1950s housewife with a drunk, abusive husband. And I was like, I fell down the stairs and he'll change. I shouldn't have been nagging him. And the turkey was cold. Of course he's gonna shove me. Like, if a girlfriend of mine was saying the things to me about her boyfriend that I was saying about my girlfriend, I would have beaten the shit out of her boyfriend. Because I would have been like, yo, you're in an abusive relationship. But I thought that taking that was loving and Christ-like. And by the way, just to be very clear, I was 50% of the problem. This isn't poor Christian Jamie got duped by some Midwestern huckster. I did Dr. Drew's podcast the other day and he called me out on it where he was like, man, a lot of you trying to fix her is not you trying to heal her wounds, but you trying to heal your wounds. And he's right. Like, I thought it was all coming from a selfless, Christ-centered place, but a lot of it is, oh, I couldn't fix my mom, so I'm going to fix her. And that's me stuff. That's not her stuff. You know, it was, I'm the reason we moved so fast. We moved so fast. We moved in right away. And by the way, it wasn't even the regular Christian thing where it's like, we got to get married so we can have sex. We were having sex and we still moved too fast. We still moved in together because we were like, this is going to be like, it's pretty much like marriage if we're living together and we're thinking of each other as husband and wife. I mean, every day that we were doing married people stuff, we were calling each other like, you're my future wife, you're my future husband. And we really, really meant it. But I think that's because neither of us know what marriage is. And we don't know the difference. And we did have, my pastor talks about, whenever he talks about not having sex until marriage, he goes, not because you're going to go to hell, not because I'm shaming you. He'll joke. He's like, I don't want to sound like a 90s youth pastor. He's like, but if you have these exit doors with the intimacy, it's never going to be fully intimate. And, you know, when I even recently, I was like, I'll do all the like, I'll feed poor people. I'll be nice. I'll apologize to God when I screw up. But like, I'm probably still going to have sex. Cause like I'm a dude and I like sex. And when I think about it, man, it's always led to bad stuff. You know, like no, I'm not going to turn into a Christian influencer who lies to you. Sex is awesome. Sex is awesome. It's better when you're in love than a stupid one night stand. I truly felt like I knew I was going to make, I was going to propose. God, we would have been in. Yeah. I was planning on proposing to her last month. But sex is great. Sex is great. There are even times I've had casual sex and I've walked away and been like, glad I did that. Like, feel good about it. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to say that every time I've had a one night stand, I'm crying in the rain in a rainy alley and being like, what's wrong with me? I just needed God. Yeah, sometimes I was like, that was fucking great. She was super hot and out of my league. Don't know how I pulled it off. I'm going to be thinking about that for the next month. But in the long run, does it make me happier? No, absolutely not. And I wonder if every time that I have turned to that, every time that I have slept with a girl on the first date, every time that I have done that, if that does, just like porn, push me farther away from what God wants for me, what I want for me. And I don't have the answer because I've never done it. And it's really hard, man. We are surrounded by romantic comedies, sex. I can't even go on Instagram. I'm not looking at porn. Cool. Every jujitsu girl I'm friends with has a fucking OnlyFans page now. And I'm like, God, so I'm like muting my friends on Instagram. And like, it's everywhere. And when people or pastors or YouTube influencers go, that's when you got to turn to God. How? Because I feel pretty dumb being lonely and missing my girlfriend so much and being like, I guess I could just like look at porn and then be like, hold on, while I have my dick in my hands being like, hey God, I really need you right now. It feels like such a, like God's like, no. I found the solution last night. It's Christian porn. Just kidding. Sorry. We'll make it a sketch one day. So me and my girlfriend break up. The last time I taped an episode, my friend Josh, who's in the room with me, we recorded an entire episode when I was like, hey man, I think my relationship's going to be done. And then I did all that Trump stuff was happening while I was like looking at my phone and I'm like, I think she's moving out. And then I drove home to an empty house. And my friends and my pastors and me and her, it was a really loving breakup. She left me a very long voice memo being like, you are a godly man and I love you and I'm sorry and all this stuff. And she left when I was gone for me to be kind to me because she knew that every time we tried to break up, the second I saw her cry, the second I looked at the dog, I just completely broke. And was like, I will do anything to make this work. And so she was doing that as a favor to me. Hey, you're not going to have to say another goodbye because I know we're going to end up back together. And we would have. And so my pastor goes, dude, this is the best case scenario. You know, you get to go home. You get to be at peace. You get to reestablish your relationship with God. Because here's something else that people don't tell you about a Christian relationship. If you are in a Christian relationship and that relationship sucks, God gets a lot of the shrapnel. Like, it's easy to blame God because you've made God your third, right? Definitely a less offensive way to say that. But you're in a polyamorous relationship with God where you brought him in, right? So there were, and this is, these were two baby Christians, me and her. So you're in a relationship And God's at the center of the relationship. And you go, this relationship's going to be different. But guess what? It's not going to be different. Is that because of God? No, it's not going to be different because you're both humans. And humans are broken. Whether you believe the Bible or you just look around, humans are broken. Right? Speaking of the Bible, by the way, I wasn't going to say this on a podcast because it sounds so silly and unbelievable. The first weekend my girlfriend came to visit, even though I live in Texas, I'd never seen a snake before. And I just saw this snake, like I was going to pick her up and I just saw this snake at my old apartment and I go, oh, that's a little too on the nose. And then I kept going, I kept walking and then I saw another snake and I was like, this is weird. And then I walked to my normal like walking path, which is where I used to pray. And there was a sign that said the snakes have been mating, watch out for snakes. And I told my pastor was the only person I told this. And he's like, so you saw that? And you were like, yeah, I'm going to play through. And I was like, yep, damn right. Damn right. So, and by the way, that's not calling her a snake. That's, you look at Genesis, it's the temptation. In my head, I was being such a godly man that Tim Ross wanted to help get me a podcast. The only thing I'm missing is a wife. And then 4 days later, I meet this girl who's the love of my life. And so at no point was I like, this is temptation to pull me away from what I'm supposed to do for God. I just go, well, looks like everything's coming up, Millhouse. And I got a wife and I have this like dream show, even though the relationship completely pulled me away from God. Because what happens is if you're in, and I don't want to use her as an example, I don't want to throw her under the bus, but like if you are in an unhealthy relationship, and that partner who is treating you poorly will say something mean to you and then go, we should just pray. You just go, pray to who? To your mean God who's having you do this mean stuff to me? And so suddenly you're just pulling away from God. Guys, that passive aggressive prayer sketch, I looked this morning, it is almost at 5 million views. I thought it was going to be so unrelatable. Me and my ex didn't yell at each other, but it was based on that. It was based on my first Christian relationship. It was based on every meal we had. We weren't fighting while praying, but it was just the longest, saddest prayers you've ever heard in your life. There would just be like a cold plate of nachos, and she would just be like, I'm going to start treating him right. And I would just be like, please protect her heart. Like it was just, there was so much of please protect each other's hearts. And then we would just be like, in Jesus's name. And then we'd just eat this meal. Like that was based on a real thing. And the reason that it has almost 5 million views is because you guys go through it too, but no one wants to talk about it. Cause when you're Christian, you're supposed to be perfect. And you know, huge shout out to my pastor, Doug from Red Rocks, who did a sermon this month on a pill addiction he had. Guess when he had that pill addiction? A couple months ago. That's why I'm giving him a shout out. So many pastors will talk about the problems they had, but it's always like 20 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, and you go, so have you just been fine like since then? Because even then, like, I have a real, we're buddies. He's been on the show. But like Joshua Broom, that porn star, when I first saw him, so if you guys don't know Joshua Broom, he was an award-winning porn star. He's had sex with thousands of women. And then he was like suicidal and he does a lot of amazing work on like suicide prevention. This is not to throw him under the bus. And then he became a Christian, met this amazing woman. They didn't have sex till marriage. And now he has a beautiful family. And when I saw that, instead of being inspired, my first thought was, so you got to have sex with thousands of women, get a bunch of awards, and then you were celibate for a while, and now you have a beautiful family? Fuck you. I was like, you got the best of both worlds, which is insane thinking because that first world, he was literally suicidal during. But in my head, I'm just like, oh, look at that. You get to have sex with a bunch of women, and now you have this perfect family, and blah, 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 blah. it's very easy to project as a Christian. So Doug, yeah, you hear these stories of like, oh, I was addicted to porn, but now I have a beautiful family. Or, oh, I had so much sex, but that was in the 80s. And now I'm like a millionaire mega church pastor. And I'm just like, cool, man. But like Doug, to his credit, he's like, nope, I was giving sermons and addicted to pills. And I just thought that was such a brave thing. And that's really what I want this show to be, because so many people, you go to any comment thread of a Christian YouTuber and you go, huh, yuck. I don't want to be anywhere near this. I don't feel welcomed by Christians. Anytime I curse and you look at the comments, it's just like, woof, this is what you guys are concerned about? Not like helping the homeless, not like becoming better people, but jumping on influencers' comment threads and being like, the Bible says, shut up, dude. Like, that's why so many people turn away from God. It's, again, it's because of people. So I have this out. She's gone. She made it home safe. You know, it's funny. When I was driving back from Dallas, I don't know if I told you this, Josh, but when I was driving back from Dallas, I was like pretty relaxed. I was like, okay, this relationship has been really hard. Now it's over. Time to move on. Time to focus on the show. Time to get back with God. And the one time I broke down and just started sobbing in the car is she wrote me and she goes, hey, I'm leaving the house. Keys under the mat. And I said a prayer for her, and I've never prayed for like an ex, you know? That's another being Christian sucks. It sucks. I hate it so much. Like, don't you miss the old days when I wasn't Christian and you'd break up with someone and you just block them on everything? The person you shared your most intimate dreams and desires and fears with, suddenly you have to block them on Instagram and you block their phone number. And oh, I can't even watch Lost anymore because that was our show. And like, oh, that was great. Now I'm saying a prayer and crying while driving on the highway. I said a prayer for fucking dog too. Anyway, so I say this prayer and I start crying. And I'm proud of myself because That actually is something beautiful that Christianity gave to me. I don't want to be bitter. I would rather be sad. I would rather try to love and get hurt. I would rather pray for someone's protection. I still pray for her. I can't not. I pray for her every day. And it sucks because I know I need just a clean... My pastor's like, block her. And I'm like, I have to pray for her. And he's like, block her. I'm like, you're a shitty pastor. My pastor actually said, if you get back to, I have a screenshot of this. He goes, if you get back together with her, I will fight you. And I said, you know, I fight professional fighters, right? And he goes, it'll be worth it. That's a pastor right there. That is Ethan, my guy. He's not on social media because he's happy. Okay. So, and I end up watching porn whilst ordering a pizza whilst ordering Sonic. I order Sonic, I order pizza, Pornhub is at the center. It is the saddest display of humanity you've ever... It's like, I feel like I was one of those... You remember those like Christian horror shows where it was like... It would be like those like haunted houses where it's like the abortion hall of mirrors and like all that weird stuff. I feel like in some other dimension, there's me like on my laptop eating Sonic mozzarella sticks as like, is that what you want? No, nobody wants that. And again, I'm like telling myself, I'm like, yeah, good job not having sex with Natalie or like whatever. And so I call my pastors and I'm just like, guys, I am struggling. And even this addiction sermon Doug did, the consensus was the whole thesis of it wasn't to shame you for your addiction, but it was, we're all addicted to something: porn, love, Instagram likes, alcohol, weed, validation, whatever it is. And it's not to shame you for that addiction, but the whole sermon was, what are you hiding? Every time you want to go to porn, what are you masking? What are you trying to numb? And that's what you lean on Jesus. That's what I misunderstood. I thought it was, I want to look at porn. Jesus, I'm horny. Help me. And it's just like, that's stupid. No, it's like, what is this pain underneath that, that you're trying to like duct tape? And so I get that. When Christians talk about it, I get it. I'm lonely. I miss my ex. I think I'm going to be alone forever. I think I've made too many mistakes. If I'm going to be alone forever, I might as well derail. I'm trying to figure out who I am. I'm trying to get right with God. I don't think God likes me. I've made too many mistakes. I get it. But what I don't know is then what do you do with it? Like, cool. I know what the problem is. I know it's not about watching Bang Bus. It's about loneliness. It's about not feeling loved. So I just go, I don't get it. Like, I didn't have sex, so I went to food. And I've been really healthy. I got, like, I gained a lot of weight in this relationship. My ex had, like, hot girl metabolism, and we would just fight, so my cortisol levels were, like, skyrocketing. And then every time we fought, she'd be like, you want to get pizza? And I was like, okay. So I've been, like, losing weight. I've been getting to the gym twice a day. And I just started derailing. And I was like, I felt gross with porn. And I still didn't feel right with God. I felt like every time I prayed, it was just a show. It was like, hey, man, I'm still here. I have a Christian podcast, so I guess we're still doing this. Like, it was like a lot of that. So I texted Ryan, Doug's brother, one of my other pastors, who's brilliant. And I'm going to have him on the show. So he is, you know how like every pastor is like, no sex till marriage. I mean, like I had a lot of sex, but then when I met my wife, we waited 4 months and now we have sex every day. And I'm like, cool. Ryan has never had sex and talks about singleness a lot. And Ryan is like, good looking dude. I'll say it. Ryan's hot. I called him that once by accident to his face. Still think about it. I was just like, man, you're such a good guy. You're like hot. And I was like, what are you saying, buddy? But he's brilliant. And like, he's one of those dudes. I'll watch him during the worship band sometimes, not cause he's hot. But the way he's worshiping is so authentic and not performative. And I truly believe that a lot of it has to do with being single. I think a lot of just, he's one of those guys, we'll hang out and we'll just talk about writing. We won't even talk about God. And I feel God just because I feel God through him. And I truly believe that him being alone has to do with it. He's a little younger than me, but he's like mid-30s. That's real. That's putting your money where your fucking mouth is. So I want to have him on the show and I want to talk about being single. I think that'll be a really good conversation to have down the line. But I'm voice memoing him and I'm like, hey man, did my Sonic porn thing help me out, please? And please don't say lean to God. Like I know, but I go like, what are your practices during the day? What do you do? What do you do at night? And we came up with some ideas. And I forget if I've said this on the show. I joked about it once. Like one of my buddies who's young, he had a porn problem too. Guys, every Christian male has had a porn problem because every Christian male is trying not to have sex. So they either have a sex problem or they have a porn problem. That's just a thing. And I don't know what's worse. Like, again, this is me being totally honest and probably, I don't know if this is good Christian influence in or bad, but part of, like, no one's ever been like a porn problem, you feel that shame. But sex, like, no one's ever come to you and be like, hey, man, I think you're having too much sex with, like, too many hot girls. Like, even if your neighbors are keeping you up all night because, like, they're having sex all night, if you see the guy the next morning, you're going to be like, hey, keep it down, but also, like, sick, dude. Like killer. This is awesome. if you go even to your like Christian small group and you're like, man, I'm gonna join a group this week. If I went to them and I'm like, guys, I had a threesome recently, they're gonna be like, we're gonna pray for you. We're also gonna pray that maybe you teach us how to have a threesome, because like that sounds kind of dope, right? But like, how many times have you told your guy friend, like, dude, I hooked up with this girl last night? And the first thing they say is, then I'm gonna pray for you. They're like, let me see a picture. And you show them, and if she's hot, they're like, yeah, all right, you're good. Just cut it out. But with porn, it's like more, it's shameful. It's by yourself. There's no hot girl. There's just a laptop and a box of tissues that probably wants to run away like a Pixar movie. I got distracted. Here's what I did. Here's how I fixed it. Last night, I felt the closest to God I've ever felt in my life. And it wasn't because I did psychedelics. I felt so close to God. That's why I said no to sex today. That's why I said no to psychedelics. I have already paid for the psychedelics. I was going to do a guided thing. It was a lot of money. And I told her to keep it, which is crazy. It's crazy. Here's how I found God. You guys ready? Christian influencer tells you how to find God. Oh wait, should we do what's it called? Not the JPEG, what's the stupid picture that the stupid influencers use? Thumbnail? He found God how? Okay, sorry. That is one thing I didn't have to deal with Buddhists. There weren't insufferable influencers. They were just people who sat quietly. It was great. Okay. Here's how I found God. Here's how you do it. Ready? You don't have to sign up for my mailing list to find out. There aren't five steps. You don't have to smash any buttons. Around 7:30 last night, right around the time I would probably like order shitty food or think about porn or text some chick, I put my headphones on. I went for a walk. I listened to, it's really, Chandler Moore really stopped another threesome from happening. I listened to the new Maverick City and I put my phone on airplane mode and I just walked and I listened to the lyrics of these worship songs and I was looking at the sky. And I said this before I believed in God, but if you put your phone away, we're so addicted to our phones. If you put your phone away and you just look at the sky, you will feel like you were on psychedelic drugs, where you just go, what the fuck is this? What is the sky? Like, what is space? What am I? Like, you go, you have like a total like existential breakdown. And I looked at the sky and I was listening to these songs. And I just stone cold sober, not a beer, not a non-alcoholic beer, ate healthy. There was no dopamine in sight. And I started like laughing. I had never been happier in my life. And one of my red flags with Christians is usually like, you know, the Holy Spirit's telling me to tell you something. Really? The Holy Spirit called you and he wanted me to see this TikTok? All right. Cool. Guys, it was the first time that I was just like I felt him. I just felt this like, here's what I think I heard. I think I heard, this is it. This is it. Like, it felt very much like when you see a kid doing something good, you know, like a kid sharing and you go, hey man, good job, buddy. This is what it's about. It was just about getting quiet. It was about, it doesn't matter if it's porn or Instagram or an ex or alcohol or Sonic mozzarella sticks. The reason I couldn't reestablish a relationship with God, even when I was praying, is because I was so distracted by everything that I thought would make me happy. And I just needed to shut up. And the second I just shut up and I looked around and I marveled at how insane the earth is and how far I've come and could laugh at the mistakes I've made while trying to get better. I am not exaggerating when I woke up this morning and I felt the same way I felt after I did my first heroic dose of psychedelics, where I was just like looking around and I'm like, trees are beautiful. Like, I walked into the gym and my trainer is so used to me seeing just despair from either the breakup or the relationship, or, and he's just like, yo, like I felt, so, I was literally like skipping to the gym. And it was just because I felt loved. And there were moments today where I hit traffic or where it started raining or we recorded later than I thought that, like, yeah, man, I'd still get frustrated or I'd still have self-doubt. But I would stop and I would just like pray or say something to God or just, again, get quiet. Usually what do we do when we get frustrated or we get mad? Oh, fuck, look at our phone, whatever. Just got quiet. And so that's my advice. It's no matter what you're struggling with, get quiet. Put your phone in airplane mode. Go outside. All of these addiction and vices, they are temporary solutions that will make your life harder. But also, I get it. And also, I've done it this week. So, and like, I'm still going to screw up. And then you just move on, man. You move on and you ask for help and get quiet with God when things are good. Don't just do it when things are bad. 'Cause then you do feel like, you feel like that friend who like only calls their friends when they need to borrow money. You know, you don't want to feel that way with God, but like, what does God have to say when you have a good day? When you're driving back from the gym and you feel really good about yourself, wouldn't that be like an amazing time? Because maybe you can get quick. Because what I kept saying is like, the reason I wanted to do psychedelics wasn't because I wanted to get closer to God. Well, it was two reasons. I said I wanted to get closer to God, but really it was to shut up my voices that were stopping me from getting closer to God. And what I learned was, you know, a lot of times when we're depressed, we go back to these things that are familiar. My ex actually told me there was a study, you know what I'm going to call her? There was a study where like people will watch the same TV shows they're used to, like, 'cause it's familiar. And they go, oh, I remember this. It's one of the reasons I was talking about politics last 2 weeks. I go, I remember how to do that. It's just, it's old. Where did it lead? Don't worry about it. It's fine. I was moderately successful until I wasn't. Same with mushrooms. Well, mushrooms was how I first discovered God. So I always got to do that again. Same with the girl. I just got to get back with her. But was it healthy? Were you happy? I will be. So we go back to these old things instead of like, we should be moving forward. We should always be trying to move forward instead of going back. Familiar doesn't mean good. The reason I keep ending up in toxic relationships is not because I'm very good at spotting red flags. It's because I'm very attracted to red flags, because my dumb animal sex body sees the red flags and doesn't go, hey man, you remember this? We read a book about this. My brain goes, this is who we have sex with. And then you go, I'm in love. We should move in. Get quiet. If you get quiet, you will know what you were supposed to do. There is a moment in the podcast episode with my pastors where, by the way, I did not realize, I didn't know Christians were such wieners about cursing. So I am cursing so much on this podcast with my pastors. We are on my church stage. Oh, they're going to get in so much trouble. So there was a moment where I asked Ryan, this is maybe the best advice I've ever gotten in my life, where I asked Ryan, I go, hey man, how do you know when it's God? How do you know when it's the Holy Spirit? Because dude, when I got back together with my ex, I said a prayer. I go, God, give me a sign. Tim told me this. Tim Ross said, pray, God, if you want us together, give me a sign. If you don't, if this isn't you, like break us up or whatever. So I said that prayer and she texted me right away. She goes, I made a mistake. I want to get back together. And I go, oh, this is a sign. And then last week I said a prayer and that Taylor Swift song, We're Never Getting Back Together, came on. And I go, oh, this is a sign. And then I go, neither of those things were signs. Those were both me hearing what I wanted to hear. What God really wants for me for the first time is this is a toxic cycle I have been in since I lost my virginity and got cheated on. I need to break this by myself. There's not going to be a, you know, I drive by a sign that says, you know, get back with blah, blah, blah. This is something I have to break on my own. So I ask Ryan, I go, how do you know when it's God? How do you know when it's the Holy Spirit? I mean, yo, how many scumbag church guys are going up to girls and being like, the Holy Spirit really said I should give you my phone number? Like, do you think that's a line that happens? It has to be. It has to be. Girls, write in. Oh my God. Girls, can you write in your corniest church pickup lines? Can we please? And I will read them all on the air and it'll be anonymous. Please. Please. Okay. So I go, how do you know it's the Holy Spirit? How do you know it's God? And he goes, you take a breath and you feel a calmness. You feel peace. It's not necessarily God being like, do this, my son. It's you just feel that peace. You know, when you like cancel plans and you just go, oh, that feels good. It's that feeling. And so I remember after we broke up, I cried after I said a prayer, but then I came home to an empty house that I thought I was going to be devastated and I felt peace. And I go, that's probably God. And when I was on this walk last night, I felt peace. I just felt that quiet of just like, you're going in the right direction. So I'll end with this, guys. You may be struggling. You may be going through it. You may be at a job you hate. You may be listening to this podcast while looking at porn because I have some kind of like ASMR thing you're into. I don't know, man. Maybe you're really into funny guys and really into Asian threesomes at the same time. You're welcome. You could be hitting the same wall that you have hit for the last 20 years. Get quiet. And when you find that peace, keep going towards that. You just need to get a little better every day. People become Christians. I became a Christian and I go, I gotta get a Christian wife and I gotta get baptized and I gotta do this and I gotta stop sinning and I gotta start feeding the homeless and I got... One step at a time is okay. We do the best we can because what you don't want to do is try to do so much. You're setting yourself up for failure. And sometimes this will be another episode. You're subconsciously doing so much to self-sabotage so that you can completely derail because you know that a normal person cannot do that much. Take your victories, get quiet, find your peace. That's the show. If you guys like the show, if the show spoke to you, you can share clips from our YouTube channel. I'm going to post clips on my Instagram. If you don't follow me on Instagram, it's at the Jamie Kilstein, where we're also doing comedy sketches about all this kind of stuff. The best way to hear from me and be like in the know is you can sign up for the mailing list, backrowpod.com. If you've just been like watching clips because they're coming into the algorithm, hit subscribe. It really helps. Set the little notification thing. Write a comment. I'm not going to read the YouTube comments. I'm going to be honest with you. It's a toxic cesspool. However, I do read my Instagram comments and you can DM me on there. My DMs are kind of a shit show, but I really do want to start as we find the footing for the show. I want it to be more interactive. We want to involve you guys very much, especially with like fun stuff like the bad church pickup lines. So you can write in there. And I think that's it. We love you guys. Thank you again. Thank you for the support. We cannot do the show without you. And we'll see you next week on the Back Row. Peace.